Hello, Sun City, Shadow Hills. I'm Phil Urbez and a member of the HOA Board Candidate Nominating Committee. Our four candidates are here today. They will each have 12 minutes to speak without any questions from me. Our first candidate is Linda Ossen, Secretary of the HOA Board. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Phil.
You will have 12 minutes and your time starts now.
Good afternoon. On Saturday morning, when I reviewed the discussion from Friday's second candidate forum, I have to say I was totally disappointed, and I'm wondering how it came across to you, too. I know Kim and I were looking forward to an election based upon real issues and legitimate differences, I mean, offered by four homeowners, all of whom want to serve on our HOA board. But what I heard was something very different. It was the tone. I mean, why all that anger and hostility? There was no reason for the strident and angry responses. And I don't know what they're so upset about, except for the COVID restrictions, which, from their actions this past year, they do not believe in, and they want our community to be free from the state and county mandates. I also wonder, how can anyone be upset about our board's leadership the past 4 years, when we have made so many improvements in every aspect of managing our community? I mean, look at Sun City Shadow Hills 5 years ago. People were divided and angry. Videos of the board meetings show people yelling and screaming at one another. That's just not the case now. Led by this board, our residents have come together for one common interest, and that's the betterment of our community. It's very disappointing to me that John and Moira seem to believe the board isn't keeping residents informed, that we aren't transparent. Really? I mean, how about 74 board podcasts last year, 6 town hall meetings, and well over 100 messages from the president, weekly Monday e-blasts, plus information on our community website? And they want the board to provide more avenues for homeowner input. Perhaps they're unaware of the mandatory 28-day comment period for all rule changes, the many surveys that the board has initiated over the past 2 years, and ask a question, make a suggestion on the website, or join an advisory committee, or just call or email a board member or all the board members directly. Have they made any suggestions for community input? No. Oh, wait. Moira suggested that all board members attend all advisory committee meetings. Sorry, Moira, that is illegal according to Davis Sterling. They also may not be aware of how many emails the board actually receives from homeowners. Hundreds every month, with questions, suggestions, and of course, complaints. And board members respond to every one of them. Now, for efficiency's sake, the president speaks for the board and leads the email response. But we all reply when we have something to add or when we have a different perspective on it. I just would like to remind everybody that board service is more than just a typical volunteer job. It's a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job because that's what homeowners expect, and doggone it, that's what they deserve. The board has been under significant pressure this last year, trying to keep everyone safe and our HOA well managed. And did I mention our 57 board meetings in 2020? Okay, I know I've mentioned it several times. I'm confused, though, about John's claim of 12 years of HOA executive board experience. My understanding from what he said is that he was never elected, he was appointed. Not by the homeowners and not from an existing board, but by the developer of the project. Now, that is certainly not the same thing as being elected by the homeowners and representing the homeowners. You remember how things were when Pulte still had members on our board. But let's look at our financial situation. In 2016, our operating fund of revenue minus cost and expenses had a deficit of $1.1 million. Kim was elected in 2017, and that year, the operating fund produced a surplus of revenue minus costs of expenses of $465,000. Now, in my mind, that is an amazing turnaround of $1.5 million in 1 year. And the surpluses have continued in 2008 and 19, and even last year, when COVID restrictions caused us to lose income from the golf course, shadows, fitness classes, etc., we still had excess. And what to me is really amazing is that the past 2 years, the board has approved credits back to homeowners, and we returned $828,000 to our residents' pockets where it belongs. And just a reminder that shortly after his election to the board, Kim requested the removal of our general manager, Caesar Larrick, for mismanagement, and also requested a forensic audit from DRM of all of our financial records. Now, DRM agreed, did the audit, and discovered that Caesar had embezzled $126,000. Now, through court proceedings and a settlement with Associa DRM, we received $290,000 back for our association. And John, did I hear you say Friday night, thank you to Bob Israel for resolving the embezzlement against Caesar? Really? That was the team of Kim, Carrie Thompson, Farah Mostow, and Bill Wethy, who is chair of our Finance Advisory Committee. They led the investigation, and they invested countless hours getting justice for all of us. Yes, Bob did contribute when he joined the board 8 months later, but Kim, Carrie, and Bill really did the heavy lifting on the discovery and the negotiations with DRM. A few years ago, we started to hire consultants, and I've gotten pushback from people who say, why are you spending that money? Well, I'll tell you why. First, we hire them to do a number of things for us, write specifications, review bids, make contractor recommendations, and ensure that the performed work meets our specs. And we've been rewarded for that. We got $15,000 back from Hortec on a rock installation. We got another $50,000 from Hortec because of their poor sprinkler installation. And consultant helped us a couple years ago with the seal coating and crack repair, and that resulted in a reimbursement to us of $65,000. And I guess my point here is that a modest amount of money invested at the front end of a project is much better than money spent paying lawyers after the project is completed poorly. Another suggestion that John made was that we should review our contracts annually. The board absolutely agrees, and that's why we've been doing exactly that. The Finance Advisory Committee and other applicable advisory committees carefully examine each contract well before it is due to be renewed. That means reviewing over 20 contracts per year, including major ones like DRM, Troon, our landscape, and security. And John said that we should reevaluate our contract with Epstein, our legal firm. We did just that in 2019 when we spent significant time evaluating legal alternatives. We interviewed 5 qualified firms, and in the end, Epstein's information, their costs, which were $20,000 a year less than anybody else, our trust in their advice, and a good working relationship kept us with the Epstein Law Firm. Now, I'd like to just talk a little bit about what the board accomplished last year. We really worked on 4 major issues or projects, and you know COVID is number one, followed by our Frontier contract, and we were involved in the planning for the Coachella Water District project, which should commence in a few months. And we had a lot of service and financial issues that we had to work out with Hortec when we canceled their contract. But the point I'd like to say here is, except for Hortec, these things are not complete. We're right in the middle of them, and we really need to keep our board intact. So I'm asking you to reelect Kim and I so we can do exactly that. Also last year, We had well over 20 facilities, maintenance, upgrades, updates, whatever. For example, we now have new street signs throughout the community, and I know I appreciate that. We're nearing the end of the Montecito-Santa Rosa pavement rehab. We renovated our security gatehouses, plus a lot of maintenance and updates on the clubhouses, facilities, and really all of our amenities. But as I said before, I was surprised and disappointed in the anger emanating from John and Moira. They have not provided any ideas to make our community better, just anger and resentment. John says that we are fear-mongering. Really? We are laying out the facts about COVID and enforcing rules to keep our residents safe. I would not call that fear-mongering. I would call that responsible behavior on the part of the board, because our duty is to keep our residents safe and their pocketbooks protected. Unless you are opposed to upholding the COVID state and county mandates, there really is nothing to be angry about. You have 5 people on the board who are all working together to make Sun City Shadow Hills the very best and the safest community for all residents. And as far as John's assertion that it's time for a change in approach and atmosphere, frankly, I don't understand. Change it to what? The anger and resentment they are demonstrating? I certainly hope not. And I'd like to say, John, our board is not flawed. Our relationship with the community is not flawed, unless, again, you think that we should not abide by the state and county pandemic orders. Our board works well together. Proof of that is that 95% of our votes are 5-0. That tells me that after our discussion, all members of the board, every member, has agreed on the final outcome. In this election, homeowners must decide who can best keep us safe through the end of the pandemic, who can best protect our community assets and our home values, and who can best represent us for the next 2 years. I'm proud of the contributions I've made to our objectives during my time on the board, and I look forward to another 2 years serving our community. I would appreciate your support and your vote. Thank you.